Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back into Drive Time Sports, 2 days away from Super Bowl 57. We got a great show lined up today. We're going to talk to a couple of Philadelphia Eagle players coming up in just a bit. We'll also catch up next segment with Sean Merriman, Lights Out Sean Merriman, who was elite for three seasons with the San Diego Chargers. Before we get in to that talk, I want to focus on the game itself. Coming up Sunday, live coverage, 12 p.m., all the way up to kickoff at 3. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner will bring you the play-by-play call. It's the Eagles, it's the Chiefs, and it's two-time MVP Patrick Mahomes, two in 6 years, as he guns for his second Super Bowl win. We're going to talk about that and more right now. Over the phone, we have Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine. Steve, we caught up last week talking pitchers and catchers, getting ready to report for baseball. Now we're talking Super Bowl 57, and 2 weeks into this talk, I'm ready for the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of the big arguments. I was hearing the argument, and maybe you could push this one, all right? Should the Monday after the Super Bowl be a national holiday?
Yes.
First off, no.
Oh, yes. Come on. It's got to be.
Should not be. It should not be a national holiday. But I will say this. Since there's nothing else going on that weekend, like nothing really big of significance goes on, put the Super Bowl on a Saturday. It's 13 days instead of 14. Put it on a Saturday. That way everyone can sober up on Sunday, go back to work on Monday like a normal productive society. How's that?
Well, listen, if you watch more than 10 football games this season, you should get Monday off. I'm not going to give it off to the person that just picks a team Saturday night and all of a sudden they dress up in green or red on Sunday and they have this big rooting interest and they act like it's life or death. If you're not involved, if you're not into football, if you're not investing your Sundays, you don't get Monday off. Yeah, I'm going to discriminate here on this one.
Oh, no, that's an absolutely correct call. And let me go one step further, and this happens every year, no matter who gets chosen a month before the game to be the halftime performer, whether it was the Rolling Stones or whether it was Aerosmith or whether it's Bruno Mars or this weekend, it's Rihanna, who I honestly couldn't name two songs she does. But at the same time, I am also not going to stand around and stomp my foot in the floor and protest whether or not Rihanna should be the Super Bowl halftime performer or whether or not I'm going to watch. If you're that person and you're sitting at home with your family and friends, chances are you've got 150 channels to choose from in that 15 minutes of time between you going to the bathroom, getting some more nachos at halftime, and not caring at all about the halftime show. Instead of complaining about it, find something else on those 150 channels on your DirecTV or your Dish Network. Find something else to watch for 15 minutes. Leave everyone else alone who wants to watch it and wants to enjoy it, and quit bitching about it. I'm sorry, but the idea that every year it turns into this culture war of, I don't like Rihanna, I'm not going to watch her, I don't care about rah, rah, rah. Shut up! Find the puppy bowl and turn that on for 15 minutes and quit whining.
I got to be honest with you. I quite frankly do not care who the halftime performance for the Super Bowl is. It could be Bluey for all I care. You know, Bluey, the Disney cartoon that my two-year-old can't stop watching. I see it on my TV every day. They could put Bluey on at halftime. I honestly do not care about that. It means absolutely nothing to me. I don't think I've ever been worked up about a halftime show because it's not even on my radar. Don't care.
Honestly, and so you mentioned the name Bluey. I didn't even know what the hell that was, so I'm glad you clarified that for me.
Well, you don't have a two-year-old, so I don't expect you to know what Bluey is. I unfortunately could tell you anything about this blue dog that my daughter watches every day. Let's talk Super Bowl, okay, because we do know a thing or two about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. And first off, Patrick Mahomes wins his second NFL MVP. This is a very impressive thing. And Steve, we had this conversation last week on the show with another guest. The idea that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were so successful for so long and at a level that we have never seen that it almost minimizes the accomplishments of other greats. We look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, hell, even a Matt Stafford. Well, they only won one Super Bowl. It's pretty hard to do, right? I get that Brady won seven. Guess what? No one else has ever done that. I look at what Patrick Mahomes has accomplished in 6 years, back in the Super Bowl for the third time, two NFL MVPs. Yeah, this guy's very impressive. I don't think he's changing the game of football. I don't think he's revolutionizing it. But we are seeing a Hall of Famer at work in the prime of his career, and it is a beautiful thing.
And to backtrack a second on the Tom Brady thing, you mentioned his seven Super Bowl wins. Guess what? We're never going to see that again.
No.
Enjoy what you're seeing now with Patrick Mahomes, and enjoy what we're going to see, hopefully, in the continued development of guys like Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, what we're going to see, hopefully, in Justin Herbert down the road. Because we're never going to see that level of Tom Brady ever again. That's never going to happen. So we've ushered out the era of Brady and probably Rodgers to some degree. I don't expect wherever he goes, he's going to be contending for a Super Bowl anytime soon. But this is that new era now, and Jalen Hurts is going to be a part of that era. And it's not that dissimilar to what we saw when we lost Jordan and Malone, and we had to usher in the new era in the NBA. It's not that dissimilar to that. So I'm thrilled that Patrick Mahomes won the MVP, and his story is amazing. Andy Reid's story is amazing. You know, the third Super Bowl in four seasons, that's something we're not going to be seeing a lot of down the road. So enjoy this while it's going on.
And I think that's the storyline going into Sunday. The idea that this Philadelphia Eagle defense racked up 70 sacks during the regular season. That's third most in NFL history. Let's couple that with the idea that Mahomes, the league MVP, who was the best quarterback in the NFL this year, has a bummed ankle. I don't think that Mahomes looked great mobility-wise against Cincinnati. I don't care if he had the eventual game-winning scramble setting up Butker's field goal. I don't care anything about that. The fact is, he didn't look great. He didn't have that burst that we typically see from Patrick Mahomes. And this defense that we're going to see from Philadelphia, again, racking up 70 sacks in the regular season, it's a different story. So for me, that is the most compelling thing to watch going into Sunday's game.
I'm glad you said that, because that's the direction I want this conversation to go. As impressive as both of these quarterbacks are, I'm fascinated by how each defense is going to make adjustments and do things against these other quarterbacks, right? I'm fascinated by how Kansas City is going to try and immobilize or slow down Jalen Hurts, who only has thrown 84 passes, I believe it is, since November. So there's a rust factor that's probably going to consideration there. And then, of course, on the flip side of that, you've got the Philadelphia defense, who, even if Patrick Mahomes wasn't 100%, which clearly he wasn't in 2 weeks against Ago's game against Cincinnati, he made plays when they needed to make plays. And that was largely in part due to a very deep receiving core and a good and a more than functional running game that provided opportunities and provided, you know, game-winning drives and game-sealing drives in that fourth quarter against Cincinnati 2 weekends ago. But it'll be a fascinating tale of how these defenses adjust. And I went back and did a couple of number crunches on this one, and it was about third down conversions against Philadelphia and against Kansas City in each of the last 2 weeks, in each of those last two games during the postseason. Kansas City was very good at stopping teams from converting on third down. Philadelphia also was fairly good at it, but there's a difference between the offenses they were facing. Look, Kansas City was facing the likes of Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville and Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Philadelphia played against Daniel Jones of the Giants and whatever Mr. Irrelevant's name was, and the fourth string quarterback of San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. So there's a difference in what they were facing. There's a difference in what they're going to be facing this particular weekend. I think that's where I give Kansas City a bit of an advantage from a defensive standpoint, is that they've had to tough out two games against better quarterbacks than what Philadelphia encountered in both the NFC Divisional and NFC Championship game.
Again, our guest right now, Steve Bordstein, as we talk Super Bowl 57 coming up Sunday. Again, live pregame coverage will begin right here on KOAL at noon, and that'll take us all the way to kickoff with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner bringing us the play-by-play call. Steve, here's an interesting stat for you. It's only the third Super Bowl matchup out of 57 to feature the number one passing offense against the number one passing defense in the NFL. Can you believe that? And in the first two times this happened, the defensive team won convincingly. The Seahawks thrashed the Broncos. That wasn't that long ago. And the Buccaneers easily defeated the Raiders. That right there should tell you that the Philadelphia Eagles are favored for good reason. I think when you look at those numbers and you look at how lopsided those Super Bowls were, typically defensive teams win these matchups.
Defensive teams win these matchups, and you know it really comes down to, and I know it's an overrated term here, but it's those early drives that are going to dictate the pace and the momentum of this game. Can Jalen Hurts play from down 14-0? I don't like their chances there. Can Kansas City come back from being down 14-0? Yeah, I think they can do it, but I don't want either one of those teams, and their fans certainly don't want those teams to be in those positions. I think the early drive are important, and to your point about defenses, I think this is where Philadelphia does have a slight advantage, I suppose, but I'm still not convinced overwhelmingly that their offense is going to have that kind of advantage, you know, in terms of the early momentum in this game. So I think in that sense, this is an intriguing match because I don't think you're looking at a blowout. Both those games you mentioned, you referenced a moment ago, turned out to be blowouts. Tampa Bay over the Raiders, Seattle over Denver. Don't forget the Seattle Denver game turned out to be a disaster from the opening snap when Peyton Manning watched the ball sail over his head. Not that I remember that at all, but I remember that game just turned into a disaster from the get-go. I don't think you're looking at a blowout either way here. I think it's a closer game in that sense, but I agree that defense is going to have a much greater emphasis on the outcome of this game than I think either of these teams' offense as well.
No, I agree, and going back to the idea of playing from behind, I had this thought in the NFC Championship. If San Francisco fell two scores down with Brock Purdy at quarterback, game was over. The reason Purdy was so effective was that San Francisco managed defensively to control the game. San Francisco could implement the run, and Purdy had to make throws when he wanted to, not when he had to. I kind of view this the same way for Philadelphia. If they get up a couple of scores, they're in a good spot. I don't think it's over if they get up by a couple of scores, but they put themselves in a good spot. On the flip side, if Mahomes comes out and this Kansas City offense is rolling the way they have really in the postseason because they've never trailed. Don't forget, I know the Eagles haven't either, but the Chiefs have had a much more difficult road to the Super Bowl. They've never trailed in the postseason. If they get up by two scores, the game plan for this entire Eagles offensive unit, it changes. It changes drastically. And so I think that is key. The first and second quarters for me are really, really big. I wouldn't anticipate Philadelphia rallying back from 2-3 scores down.
No, I think if you're gonna put either team in that position, which team is more likely to make a comeback, you would clearly put Kansas City in that regard because of what they can do offensively, because of the depth of their offense, and you go on the assumption that Mahomes, even though, again, I don't believe he's going to be 100%, he's going to be a lot closer to 100% than he was two weekends ago against Cincinnati. You have to believe he's going to be somewhat closer to it. Even if he's not 100, he's going to be closer to it than he was against Cincinnati when he was clearly not at the top of his game.
Steve, let's end with this. Who's your champion? Who's your MVP? How do you see this one playing out?
I'm sticking with Kansas City. I am. I am staying with the Chiefs on this one. I believe their road to the Super Bowl was better from start to finish. And I don't mean just postseason. I mean regular season. I mean the AFC West with the combination of the Raiders, who were relevant for about a minute and a half, and the Chargers, who were relevant for most of the season. I think their road to this point has been better than Philadelphia's. Philadelphia's road consisted of a Dallas team that went up and down all season long, a Giants team who I never really believed in whatsoever. I think Kansas City's road to this point has been better, and I think that's what's going to come out on top on Sunday. I look for Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce to be the MVP of this game. I'll give it to Mahomes simply because I think he wants to quiet the naysayers who've been saying about his injury for the last 2 weeks. I'm going to go with Kansas City in a thriller 35-31 over Philadelphia.
I'm going to differ. I'm still rolling with Philly. I think they cover the spread as well. I think it's a defensive contest early. I think Late in the game, we see Philadelphia maybe pull away with a couple of touchdowns on the ground based off of the defense doing things. And one of the things I love so much about this Philadelphia Eagles team, and I know we're going to talk to a couple of rookies coming up in just a moment, I love the rookie class defensively. I also love what they have in the middle of the field in TJ Edwards. To me, edge rush wins this game. Give me Philadelphia. If I have to pick an MVP, offensive guys get it. We saw that last year. Should have been Aaron Donald, but it went to Cooper Kupp. Jalen Hurts wins the MVP. That's the redemption for not winning the league MVP. Eagles get their second Super Bowl. I think they win in, I'm going to say, a 10-point game.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. It's going to be a fun one. I do think it'll be a fun game to watch, whether you're a passionate, crazy fan or whether you're a novice fan. I think it's a fun game to watch either way. I think there's rooting interest on both sides. But I'm going to go with Kansas City in a little bit more of a high-scoring game.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I know you're extremely busy right now as well. Before I let you go, tell us what you're up to in your neck of the woods.
We are in the midst of prep basketball heaven or hell, depending on how you want to view it right now. But there's a lot going on. We've got four teams in our local readership area that are probably competing for at least district, if not state championships. So we cover a lot of prep sports over at the Daily Times. You can follow, you can check out the work over there at daily-times.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at DTS, that's Daily Times Sports, and the last name Bortstein. And you can follow me on Twitter there as well.
Steve, always a pleasure to get you on. Enjoy Super Bowl 57. I know with baseball right around the corner, we'll be catching up real soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
Let's pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Again, lights out. Sean Merriman coming up right after this.